Egunon, buenos días.
Good morning and welcome to the press conference of the one of the films of the official selection, Sutta Mose, In the Dusk, and to talk about this film, which is in the official competition, we've got part of the cast and crew. We've got, from the left, excuse my pronunciation, by the way, if it's not correct, Simona Kevenskotskaya, who is direction assistant, John Marcus, co-producer, Jan Jaklal, who's also producer, Sarunas Bartas, who is the director and scriptwriter, Adiovas Dietsuviene, who is also producer, and Alina Lukosevic, who is commenter and she's in charge of casting and also assistant director. So therefore, if we can open the... To break the ice, I would like to ask a question. Could the director, as well as the producers, if they deem pertinent to intervene, please explain how the project emerged? Generally, in your previous films, Sarunas Bartas had dealt with issues which were much more contemporary and more up to date. But this is going back to the past. This is because it dates back to 1948. What was the interest in making this film, sir? Volume. Okay, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? No, Teoyati. Can you hear me? Can you hear the English? Good. Okay, good. Vale. He's going to repeat the question now, okay? Is that okay? Okay. He was just saying that this is for the director as well as for the producers. Why the interest in making a film? An historical film, because it dates back to 1948. It's a period piece, so to speak, whereas many of your films are dealt with contemporary issues. Why go back in history for this film?
You know, it's my history, of my country, mm-hmm. and I'm rather closely connected to the middle of the 20th century. And there was only, when I was born, and almost at the same time, the last partisan was killed in Lithuania. And all my surroundment, my grandparents, my grand-grandparents, they were always talking about it. From my very childhood, like 6 years old. So, and... Then we were in the cage of Soviet Union for long times, my youth. Then all the time that was very actual for me, this, you know, the occupation, the losing our independence. And that's very close. Maybe it was too close for me to be able to make the film earlier. I was always a little bit afraid to do that because of, you know, it's not easy to decide to talk about your own country's history, which is very painful for me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. We've got questions here on the in the front. I'm sorry, we can't hear the question if she's speaking. Oh, the microphone doesn't seem to be working. I don't know whether she's... Is she speaking? We can't hear her. I'm sorry. Or the person. I don't know who it is. Is it she or he? I can't see her. Okay. Okay, good morning. I would like to ask the director, first of all, congratulations to all of you for the film. I've just seen it. I was fascinated by it. The first question that I would like to launch, or to ask you, better said, is whether the main element that you wanted to convey through your film is an anti-patriotic feeling, not only a critique against the Soviets, but also against the partisans as well, perhaps. And secondly, refers to the photography of the film, which is quite enveloping, really, and very minimalist at the same time. And I would like to know, could you talk a bit more about how the photography process was carried out as well? Thank you. Perhaps you would be more comfortable speaking without your mask on. It would be much easier for me to translate, if that's okay for you. Yeah. Yeah, you could, it's more comfortable. There. Thank you.
There are two questions in one, I think, yes. So, anti-patriotic. I don't think that the fake patriotism gives anything better to understanding of your history. Because you have to acknowledge that there was a war, the Second World War, and Lithuania was occupied many times by Germans, then by Russians, then by Germans again, and so on. It was like a field of battle, and people were exhausted. They also went to the torturers of NKVD, I mean the newcomers who were trying to clear everything, you know, in the territory out. There was no food, I mean it was the lack of food and whatever. So it's a very strict situation in which, you know, people are people. And I never wanted to show like kind of pseudo-patriotic film. And it's not for me. Second question about photography, I didn't catch exactly what you was asking for. I mean, photography is photography, it's a part of the film. So minimalistic, yeah. I never liked, you know, to put many effects on where it's not necessary. I mean, you have to. For me, the first there are few requirements for photography. First, you have to catch the middle of the frame. I mean, not to look around and not look what happens with a moving camera or whatever, or upside down camera, and to see the people. People are, or the landscapes are the most important. You have to be involved in that. And so, and it's, on one hand, it's simple and minimalistic. On the second hand, you have to feel it. And sometimes it's not so easy.
Sí.
Is that okay?
Muy bien. Teníamos.
Okay. We have another question here.
To ask to whomever want to answer about the hardships of shooting in such difficult weather conditions, because I imagine there must be some particularly difficult stuff about adapting to the snow and the cold and all that kind of thing.
It's not easy at all. No, you told that someone else can answer, can
few,
pass from to
yeah,
you.
Claro, por supuesto.
It was a long stretch of years we didn't have snow. And so this particular year when we decided to shoot the film, it starts snowing from the first day of the winter till the last day of the winter. We had snow. So we had to wait this period. We didn't shoot during the winter outside.
No, we were shooting.
We were shooting, but not in that deepest snow that we have.
Also, we lost how many cars? Like four?
Yes, we had the freezing. We have freezing cold, but we had ice on the road. So we had 13 car crashes during the shooting. But all ended well. But I mean, it was minor. But anyway, it was quite describing the situation, what had to go through.
No, we jurists accept three cars absolutely totally damaged.
Smashed.
Smashed. But not big injuries, thanks to God, and 13 or 14 accidents, because it's very slippery, and when it for 10 years there was no snow, you know, I mean in the winter was melting, again a bit snowing, melting, and this year was very particular. Every time, all the time, the snow, the ice, And of course, the cleaning people, they cannot make it in time sometimes. So it was difficult. Of course, to stay in we had these big buckets with a fire, you know, in the near shooting camp to heat and tried to heat as we could.
Yes, we have another question.
Very strong film. We see many people praying in the film. We see an image of Jesus Christ. And that gave me a curiosity to understand the importance of faith in that time and in that place, the idea of God in that place.
It's natural, I mean, for especially for older people, it was natural to pray every evening, to have a little mass even. Like my grandparents, they always were doing kind of 45 minutes in the evening with candles and reading from the Bible. And Lithuania was very, very Catholic country, very... So this faith in God, of course, yes, people were very used to that, but there was also faith of just human's feelings.
Hola. Hi, good morning. I would like to ask the director, the story could have been narrated from different perspectives. Why did you decide to focus it in a young adolescent who's 19 years old? What does this provide to the film and to the plot?
You mean the main character?
Yes, I imagine he's referring to Unte. Yes.
Eventually, there are two main characters. I mean, they both... I don't think they did. Unte maybe is a little bit longer in the on screen, but there are one youngster and one older man, the old man who raised him. So I was trying to show that through eyes of many people, eyes of partisans, eyes of Unte, eyes of his stepfather. And, you know, of course, these youngsters who live the first time, you know, first happenings, it happens like when they are 18, everything what happens, it's your life, it's nothing else. You don't know any other situations, you know. So that's very important because it's a very fresh thing. And... later, when something changes, when the war passes away, even in my situation, I'm in a free country, so I got a lot of changes, different changes in experience. So I know that it might be like that or like that or like that, many differences. And but 18 young guy, he doesn't know anything else. He just started to live. That's for me important. But as what I told you, that his stepfather's actions and thoughts are also important for me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the truth is I would like to ask you about that perspective of the adolescent, as you said before. A lot of stories were told to him about the war, and he's got a very present. To what extent do you identify yourself with that point of view? And have you used any of this? Could you tell us a bit about the fact, as your grandparents told you when you were very young, about the stories of the war, this, that, and the other, whether you use that as part or to convey that in the film? Could you go in depth about that, please?
Yeah, there was like all the ambience, you know, especially because after the Second World War, after 48 and later, we were occupied, so nothing changed. There was a prison, there was an iron curtain, and nobody, especially in the West, can even imagine that. And our youngsters now, they don't imagine that, they don't understand. I was feeling it very hardly, I mean, very present when I was a child. So, and the front was coming through our living houses of my grandparents many times, forwards, backwards. So when we were digging with grandfather, let's say, the ground for vegetables or something, where every 2 minutes finding some shells or something, or a stick, you know, from the Second World War, rotten in the ground. Even my grandfather was picking the unblown shells, drying them, then taking out
the powder,
drying it and showing it for me how it works. When I was 5 or 6 years old, it was it. So the war was very present there. Also the environment didn't change much because the economics of Soviet Union was very low. So nobody built anything like very new or something. And after the Second World War, it's not like Germany which was absolutely rebuilt and restored in rather quick time. In Soviets didn't have it. It was like all the time this gray season for 50 years, I mean. So, and my grandparents, they were talkless. They just were, but I could hear all the time many, many details, whatever, about that, about, let's say, one of my... the brother of my sister was killed when he was 17. He didn't do anything. He was just next to his house. So they were taking prisoners to shoot them, and they took him, and then together, just like that, they killed in the next nearest small forest. So I wasn't that all the time. And my grandfather, he was trying to put in a larger, I mean, perspective of what happened and so on, explaining me many things about the why the Second World War eventually happened and so on.
Yes.
There is a scene in the movie, actually my favorite scene in the movie is one in which they talk about how you should never lie, even if the consequences are horrible. And I would like to know how come you decided to focus on that so much, because there's a whole scene just for that, so I imagine there's a message there.
Yeah, it's not a message probably. Message. For me, I'm probably an old-fashioned guy, so for me a message is an SMS, you know. So, but of course, it's because, you know, his stepfather he felt himself like he would be involved in many different lies about, you know, the different lies, and not exactly lying, but maybe in relationship with his wife and whatever, and things what he didn't say to his stepson, who he loves, he like a son. He didn't say, because in many cases the people have no time, or a little bit they are scared or something, and then they don't talk to their children sometimes until they die. And then I met many people who were saying that, oh my God, why I didn't ask this or that from my parent or my father or my grandmother? I should have asked, because it's not understandable what happened. So there are his life, this older man, he tries to please different governments, different people, and so on, to keep his own farm, and of course he has to lie. But he doesn't want Tuntia to lie, and it's normal. I would say, I am saying to my daughter the same. Please, just don't lie. Tell me the truth, and then we'll find a solution. It will be okay. Just don't lie, because you know, when you lie, you don't know what you are yourself. And you are starting to lose yourself, and you never know when this lie, how deep it will go, where it will go, this lie or something like that, and when it will end.
Time for a few more questions, if anyone would like to. Yes, of course, you can ask a question again.
Sorry, could be here all day. Since we have the casting director, I would like to know how you chose those actors, because I thought they did a really good job.
For the question? So it's... Wait. The main decision anyway was by Jurgen Šarūnas. I was just scouting things. But the interesting fact is that most of the people appearing in film are not actors. Maybe 30% of them are only actors. So Unta, the main guy, when we found him, he was maybe the first year student, the acting. But we found him not from the acting thing, but from the slam poetry, because he would be reading poetry in the bars, and that's how we found him. And then all the partisans, you see the singing ones, right, with the beards. None of them are the actors. They're just they are not regular people. You can tell that they are special. But yet, it's their first time appearance in the screen. Also, Ignas, the householder, housekeeping guy, he is from our village where we live, and it's also his first appearance, and he was spectacular. Like, you couldn't tell he's not an actor, very organic. And when it came to the casting, it was kind of few steps we had. So the first step was to check all the actors we have in Lithuania. And, you know, it's a small country, so we don't have much of those, like, you know, usually. And then we started forming the groups. And when it came to partisans, we realized that the actors will not be enough, and we would need to look out for the wild casting, as you call it. So, and it wasn't easy also, because we were, okay, so like the clue things are, we would search like in the army or the shooting clubs, because the keywords were being able to have a gun and to being familiar with the survival in the nature. So that was the keywords where to find it out of the actors. But with the army, it was difficult because they have a strict schedule and they wouldn't let people out. And also the villagers, but they are working, most of them, in jobs. So eventually we found these guys, and we found them. Basically, they live in their own community, and they are very connected to the pagonybė. Paganism, shamanism,
nature.
It's nature, self-sustainable things.
Clay
houses they are building. So
straw clay.
So they're all about that. Yeah, so once we found them, we realized that we're going to have to film.
Muy bien.
Okay. I'm not too sure whether there are any further questions. To finish this press conference, I would like to ask a question to all of you, producers especially, in the sense that, as was said here before, the story, the resistance against the Soviet Union, is not a heroic story that we see in these types of films, when you fight against the invaders and it's very ambiguous because there's a lot of darkness and there's treachery and there are lies, etc. Is it easy to make a project like this to revise the history of the country? Because it might be uncomfortable for certain people, institutions, and so on and so forth, to revise what happened in Lithuania in that period.
Actually, it wasn't so difficult to gather all the people on the film, because even though it's talking about the particular history of Lithuania, in a way, the story itself and the question of resistance and the committing to be part of it or not, and all the complexities that you raised as question, made a certain echo in the countries of co-production. So like in most of the author films nowadays, we needed to unify the forces together. So we are like six countries that participated in the financing of this film. And we financed the film in 1.5 years. So actually, in a way, it went quite fast for nowadays cinema, the financing. It found a very positive reception in the fans of all six countries.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember any film which everyone would be pleased by. So someone was not pleased at all.
Desde luego.
Bien, pues, not institutions. They are too polite.
Just add up how it went in Lithuania after the premiere, because we have a national premiere. So it was quite divided. Mm-hmm. One people were like expecting to see it very heroic and clean partisans with clean uniforms, and they were so angry that our partisans are tired. But I'm really proud of Šarūnas that he actually depicted it without any glance. And the other part of the people, we were saying, yes, finally someone stopped pretending that there is a good guys and bad guys and that people are people.
Yeah, about these heroines, I would ask just anyone who would imagine that it's 48, it's already 3 years when they are in the forest, all the time, only being able, let's say, to get food from people around, and only that supplies can help them, and living in the night time, almost not showing up in the daytime. So 3 years, can you imagine that? I think for many people, 1 year, 1 week, it would be an enormous event, you know, and 3 years with every minute waiting to be surrounded and destroyed. So it would be abnormal that they would be in a different case, and it was not, and it was of course clear from many documents and their memories where they were writing in their small notebooks, which we can read on today. So.
Muy bien. Pues bueno.
Okay, thank you. I would like to thank very much to everyone who is here to present the film and to be with us in San Sebastian, and we hope that we can see it on the screen and with all of you together, and wish you all the best of luck with the trajectory of the film. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you very much for coming, for asking, and thanks very much for producers and our crew.